See everybody this morning, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20 with me, if you would. You know, as we gather together, there's people that are visiting, there's people that are tuning in live, people are going to be listening on the radio, those that are listening online right this moment, from all different walks of life. But you know, loved one, even those that are tuning in across this country and in other parts of the world, there's only two kinds of people on this planet. You are either in Christ or you're in Adam. So this morning, I am speaking to two kinds of people. Those that are still in Adam, the Adam's family, as I like to call it. And those that, of course, are in Christ Jesus, brand new creations. All things have passed away. Amen. Now, with all that being said, I know that there, as we celebrate the resurrection, I know that we understand that. But then there are others, just like back then and today, they question. They have doubts in their heart about the resurrection. And they still believe all those man-made stories and man-made myths and so forth, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was nothing more than a hoax. Now, we know that's not true. You know, did you know that the earliest hoax, the one meaning the Bible, are those that say, well, Jesus' body was stolen out of the tomb after he was crucified. And did you know where that story comes from? The Bible. It was the very first story. It goes all the way back to the Gospel of Matthew, where the guards that were the Roman guards guarding the tomb and so forth, they said, oh, we've seen angels, the tombs have been rolled away. They reported that to the chief priest, and the chief priest said, here's a whole bunch of money. Keep your mouth shut. And if anybody asks you, just say, here's what happened. The disciples came and they stole that body away. Now, can you believe that? No, they didn't do that. We know they didn't do that. And there's all kinds of other theories. Let me give you a couple of them. They came to the wrong tomb, the disciples. Now, that's man's wisdom, isn't it? How about this one? They hallucinated. It's called the vision theory. In other words, they hallucinated like, you know, the Lord was a hologram or something. I don't know. And you know, like I told the first service and like I tell you nearly every Easter, you know, is the fact is they couldn't have hallucinated because it wasn't the 60s. Amen. So we know that didn't occur. And the other thing is the mistaken identity. I don't even want to go into that one, but I will comment on just one before we get into our message this morning. And that is that it's called the swoon theory, meaning that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. He fainted or he blacked out. He just went kind of comatose or whatever. And I love this story that a woman wrote. Remember the late J. Vernon McGee? Wrote him and asked him about the swoon theory. Let me read it to you. She says to J. Vernon, says, you know, our pastor said that on Easter, Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed Jesus back to health. What do you think, Dr. McGee? He replies, dear sister, beat your pastor. Don't you like J. Vernon? I mean, this, you know, he's a Texas boy, you know. If you tell by the way he talks. He goes, beat your pastor. And do it with a leather whip. 39 heavy strokes. In other words, make sure it has bone and less and glass like they did on Christ. He says, and then beat him. And nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, and then run a spear through his heart, embalm him with 100 pounds of ointment, and put him in an airless tomb for 3 days, and see what happens. Don't ever do that to me. Amen? Now we know that Jesus is. Now listen, the resurrection, it is the absolute cornerstone of Christianity. Amen? Without the resurrection, we know there's no such thing as Christianity. We know there's no such thing as hope or eternal life or forgiveness of sins. Heaven is not our home. It means that Jesus lied. It means that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. It means that Jesus wasn't the holy, spotless, sinless Son of the living God. Are you listening to me? Yes. In other words, we arrived here this morning. We shouldn't even be at church. We should be down there at the creek where I've hidden all those Easter eggs with $100 in each one. We should run down there right now. If Jesus wasn't real, didn't rise from the dead, we've been singing a bunch of make-believe songs to a make-believe person, make-believe prayers, make-believe hopes. Oh no, loved one, listen. We, out of all, as Paul the Apostle said, out of all people, Christians should be the most pitiable, the most pitied people on the planet. If they believe in Christ, they've given their life to one who's not real, and that he didn't really rise from the dead. He said we should be pitied above more in all people in all generations. But you know what, loved one? But now Christ has risen from the dead. Amen? That's right. We know that he's changed our entire lives. So let's put Good Friday behind us, all the violence of Good Friday, all the things that happened, and that Jesus is already, of course, he was in the tomb, and he is now resurrected. That was 2,000 years ago. Remember that Resurrection Sunday, it's not about death. That was Good Friday. Resurrection Sunday is about living. It's about life. Amen? So let's begin on that first Sunday of Christ's resurrection. John chapter 20, verse 1. And it says, now, on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, this specific woman that I want to talk to you about, Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away," we don't know who they is, but someone, "they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Now, we know, you're very familiar with this story. You know, Mary Magdalene's in shock. I mean, she's going, what in the world is going on? There, the stone has been rolled away. The Jesus is not there. She doesn't know what's going on. You know, Matthew's gospel said she just came to see the tomb. Mary, listen, Mary Magdalene loved the Lord with all of her heart. She had great love, but she came to the tomb with just a little bit of faith, okay? She didn't expect to see a living Christ, did she? No, but don't you blame her now. Oh, no, not at all. I love this woman. Listen, Jesus is not on the cross. We can't live on Good Friday. Jesus is not in the empty tomb. Walk away from death, would you? He's not there. No, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, having purged our sins. He is at the throne of grace. Oh, man, all authority and all power has been given unto him, and we are his sons and daughters. We are children of the Lord. Amen? Absolutely. Now, look at verse 3. Peter, therefore, went out and the other disciples, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter, came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief, or literally the face cloth, that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place all by itself. Now, you know, there's been tons of discussion on what that means. I have a very simple answer. If you have risen from the dead, you don't need your grave clothes. Amen? That's as simple as you can get. Listen, but I do know this. If I was a thief and I was going to rob a home and I tore the house up and I wanted to get something out of there very quickly, do you think I would fold up the furniture or fold up the, well, oh, the laundry has been folded. Let me fold those towels for that person before I leave. Sounds good on the radio, guys. Come on. I need your help this morning. No, listen. No, thieves don't do that. That verse shouts the resurrection to us. That empty tomb is just a cocoon. Jesus went right through that, okay? Now look at verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw, and look what happened, believed. In other words, John, the apostle of love, he understood the significance of Jesus' empty grave clothes. In other words, he knew he'd been risen from the dead. For as yet they did not understand or know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now then the disciples went away. Let's begin our story now. The disciples went away again to their own home. So they're gone. They're going to miss everything. But here is this woman. This is Mary Magdalene. She stood outside the tomb, and what was she doing? That word literally means unconstrained sobbing. Her heart was broken. Say broken with me. Broken. Her heart was broken in two, and she's sobbing and she's weeping as she looked into the tomb, and she wept. She stepped into it and all the rest of it. And then she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they, meaning the angels, two of them, both of them, said to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Mary is all alone. All the other Marys, Mary the mother of Joseph, and all the, they're gone. The disciples weren't even there. They went back to their own home. He's dead. There's no use in believing. You know, they're hopeless, but not Mary. She's there, and I tell you, her heart is so broken. And you know what? It's her heart is so broken looking for Jesus, wanting Jesus, that angels don't even interest her. Listen, if an angel spoke to you, what would you be doing? You'd be wanting to get up here and testify immediately. "I'm writing a new book." Yeah. No. And look what happened now. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw who? She saw Jesus standing there. She saw the one that she never expected to see living again. A dead Jesus, yes, but not a living Jesus. And look what happened. She did not know, she didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" And Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away." And I pray that you see a movie right now in your heart. See it. Make it a visual, would you? Look at her face. Look at her tears. Jesus is standing right there near her. Like Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." And there Jesus says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" You know, said, "Oh, you're just a gardener." "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me, where have you laid him? And I will take him away." You know, if you see that face-to-face meeting and Jesus, the risen, resurrected Lord, looking into the face of one that he loves and seeing her cry and weep and unbelief, whatever was in her heart, thinking that Jesus was not alive. You know, it must have broken his heart whenever she said, "Just tell me where his body is. I'll go get it. I just want to give him a proper burial. I don't want him to be out, and then I don't want to throw him out there at Gehenna, you know, the trash dump there outside of Jerusalem or whatnot. No, I don't want that. I want to personally take care of him." And Jesus said to her, I love it, "Mary." Oh, she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," in other words, which is to say teacher or my master. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." Can you see Mary? She's all over him. And said, "For I have not yet ascended to my Father." So stop holding me. Just let go of me. I'm not going any place yet. He says, "But you go to my brethren. Say to them, I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, my God, your God." And Mary Magdalene came, told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Of course, we know from the other Gospels, they didn't believe Mary Magdalene at all. Now listen carefully. This incredible woman, I would love to know more about her and who she is. Because see, Mary Magdalene, she is found in all four Gospels. We find her, well, she's at the foot of the cross. She's right there. She's right there at Jesus' burial. And then we find her here. Now listen carefully. Mary Magdalene is the first to the empty tomb. She's the very first to hear the resurrected voice of Jesus Christ. She is the first to see the risen Christ, meaning alive. She's the first to touch him, to hold him, to cling to him. She is the first to be commissioned to tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And let's look at one other point, or two more. You know, about this woman called Mary Magdalene. Imagine, this is an unbelievable. You know, I threw away five sermons that I was trying to preach for today. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, if a pastor, most of them will always be honest about it, they struggle when it comes to Resurrection Sunday because they want to take something so familiar to the body of Christ and make it living again. Do you understand? And that's what every pastor, and I prepared five, I threw them all in the trash, except this one that he gave me yesterday. And I was so thankful. And I kept thinking about this woman, Mary Magdalene, the first person on planet Earth. Think of this now, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, appeared to. It wasn't Pilate. And it wasn't the Roman soldiers. Had I risen from the dead, and the first people I would appear to would have been the Roman soldiers. You know why? Uh-huh. But see, I'm not God. No, it wasn't Pilate. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the ruler of Israel. It wasn't kings and queens. It wasn't Caesar. And as I said in the early service, surely it wasn't a Republican or a Democrat, okay? It wasn't, now listen, it wasn't even Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. Who was it? It was a woman. A woman. Think about that for a minute. A woman could tell you anything. And they say, you don't have a voice, but a woman. And they say, Bill, are you cutting down women? Of course I'm not. But listen, you say, well, why is this important? I'll tell you why. In the name of Jesus right now, he who hath an ear to hear, let him hear, let her hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. This is a very, very important word this morning, for we know so little about this woman except she came from the city or the country of Magdala. In other words, Mary Magdalene. She was from, that's the only thing we know. But we know one more thing that's so important about this woman called Mary Magdalene. It comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 9. Let me read it to you. Now, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Now listen carefully. Out of whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. Can you believe that? What in the world? I don't know how she opened the door for seven demons. We're not told. But what we are told is that Jesus set her free. Amen? Now listen. Not one demon. Not two demons. Not three demons, but seven. Seven is the perfect number of God. Complete. That means that Mary Magdalene. Listen. Not only was she possessed, not only was she ruled, controlled, used, abused, invaded, inhabited by seven demonic parasites from hell. That's what a demon is, you know. They look for a host, they're parasites, so they can manifest their personality through the host. I'm going to tell you something. When I saw what the Lord was showing me, the question that came to my heart was this on this Resurrection Sunday. Someone, you know, just what kind of life do you think Mary Magdalene had when she was inhabited by the master of all broken lives? The ones who come to steal, kill, and destroy. What kind of life do you think she had before she met Christ? I'll tell you what kind of life she had. She had a life of perpetual, habitual brokenness. Because I can assure you that when a devil has a hold of a person, they don't have joy, they don't have peace, they don't have laughter, they don't have anything. They're completely inhabited. Are you with me? Now, when I saw that, here I saw this broken person, this broken woman that Jesus had set free. Have you ever looked up the definition of the word broken? Let me give you a few of the words there. Broken, defined. Ruptured, torn, reduced to fragments, injured, damaged, defective, mangled, crushed, bruised, demolished, severed, wrecked, ruined, separated, incomplete. And if you want me to say it in Spanish, it's roto. Is that right? You have to twirl the R. Listen, Mary Magdalene is your story. Mary Magdalene is my story. Mary Magdalene is every person's story, mankind's story, until Mary met Jesus Christ as the Lord. You know what? Loved one, listen, she lived a broken life. Every person outside of Christ Jesus, loved one, all of mankind is broken, and they're broken because of sin. Amen? I mean, do you like broken things? I don't like broken things. You have to fix broken things. Amen? Man, when things are broken, like right now, in my home, the ice maker is broken. I never had an ice maker in my life till a few years ago. You know where the ice comes out? You just put the cup underneath. No, you can even have crushed ice or cylinder ice. You know, I mean, we used to just have those ice trays. Yeah, and you fill them up and you know what I mean? It's still broken. I hate broken things, don't you? There's not any ice. Listen, if my arm was broken right now, my humerus right here, this bone, from my shoulder down to my elbow, if it was broken in two, severed, completely severed, maybe sticking out the skin, oh, yeah. Oh, no. I look at it and I say, oh, Lord. I mean, listen, could I use it? No. You can't use a broken arm. Do you understand? It's impossible to use a broken arm. I don't care how much you say, I want to use it. I don't care how much you desire to use it. I don't care how much you want to use it. You can't use it. Why? It's broken. Oh, yeah, it's attached to you. Nothing you can do about it. It's broken. You're in pain. You want the pain to go away. You want to get well. You know what? Now, listen. Every person like Mary was, like we used to be, we're not anymore. Every person on this planet was born broken. We're talking about the resurrection this morning. Oh, loved one, listen. We were all born broken. Why? Because of Adam's sin. Those in Adam, they are all die. Those in Christ, they all are made alive. Listen, and here's the problem. If you're in Adam this morning, here's the deal. You don't know you're broken. Do you understand? Before I came to Christ, I thought everything was okay in my life. I didn't know that I was dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't know that I had physical life. I went through the activities of life, but I didn't have spiritual life. I was dead to God until He made me alive. See, I didn't know I was broken. I didn't know why I did broken things. I didn't know why I went over there to find a relief for my brokenness. I didn't think there was. I kept saying, "You got to man up. You can make it. You can do it. You're a good man. You can all these. You can make it happen." But loved one, no, I was broken. Listen to me now. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for mankind, because every person that has ever been born and every person that will ever be born is going to be born broken, severed away from God, dead in trespasses and in sins. Are you with me? That's how important the resurrection is. Listen, I don't know how you look at this world, this city, this life, but I see it every day. I can go to Kroger to buy groceries or whatever, and I see so many broken lives, so many broken children, so many broken people, so many broken hearts, broken relationships, broken moms, broken dads, broken children, broken homes. And you know what? They're living a broken life, and everything that they do, they go and they try to fill their life, their hope, their future, but they use broken things to do it. You know, loved one, a broken people, they turn to broken things to mend their brokenness. Let me give you a few scriptures about brokenness in the Bible. It says in Proverbs 15:13, it says, sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22, a broken spirit dries the bones. Psalm 38:8, he writes and he says, oh, I am feeble and I am severely broken. Proverbs 31:12, I'm forgotten. I am like a dead man. I am a man like I'm out of my mind. I am like a broken vessel. One more. Proverbs 18:14. Who can bear a broken spirit? No one. See, God doesn't want you to be broken. You know what? There's so many broken hearts. I talk to people all the time. I counsel with people all the time. You know what? You can take, if your heart is broken, you know, and you know, wherever you go, loved one, you're taking that broken heart with you. But you see, we run to broken things. A man does, fallen man. Are you listening to me? You see, in other words, my heart is overwhelmed. I'm broken or broken in life. I'm just upset about everything. And so I'm going to move. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to change my environment. I'm going to move to a new state. I'm going to Arkansas. You leave the promised land to go to Arkansas, you are broken. No, no, loved one, no. Listen, a new state. What did David cry? David cried out, oh, if I had wings of like a dove, I would fly away from this stormy tempest. I would get to Hawaii and everything would be good. No, loved one, a change of environment doesn't change your heart. It doesn't change your brokenness. Well, I got rid of the old guy, and now I have the new guy. I got rid of the old husband, the old wife. I have the new. You know what? Your heart is still messed up. You see, change, it doesn't. The only change that's going to heal your heart is Jesus Christ. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. Listen, so many broken people, broken by drugs. I was molested over and over as a child. Broken. Hurting, broken because I ran from relationship to relationship trying to find love, but I was only used and abused over and over and over. There is only one cure in all of the entire universe for a man or a woman who is broken, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. It says in the Matthew 9:12, it says, those that are well, they don't have need of a physician, but those who are sick. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. And you know why? There's not any righteous. None doeth good. No, not one. I didn't come to call the righteous. I come to call the broken, the sinners, to repentance. Oh, I start looking at all the great things God has done. Listen, Jesus Christ, my Lord, your Lord, he is our only answer for man's brokenness. All of mankind is broken, and Jesus died for all mankind so they would not be broken if they would only come to him. Listen, you remember what Jesus said. This is a very important scripture. He said to the disciples, he said to us, he said, this is my body. He looked them in the eyes. Of course, they're having communion, but this is so important. He said, this is my body, which is what? Broken. This is my body. They didn't understand what that meant. This is my body, which is broken for you. Loved one, listen, we cannot celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ unless we understand the cross. You can't separate those two. It's impossible. Listen, have you ever, I know you've, have you ever just felt unwanted? Or, yeah, thank you. You know, or maybe when you were growing up, maybe you didn't, maybe your parents, they were dysfunctional or whatnot. You loved them, and you know, and you wanted them to be good parents, but they just acted like they didn't want you. And you ran from this to try to find somebody who would want you. You know, I remember when my parents, well, actually, it wasn't my mother because she was already gone, but it was my father. When they told me to get out of the house, I was 9 years old, unwanted. Do you know how long it took me? Well, no, let me back up. I was so broken by that it took me until I was saved that my brokenness was removed from feeling unwanted, unloved, a mistake, not needed. Every person was born broken, and then others add sometimes to that brokenness. You know, Jesus, was he unwanted? Isn't it sad? It says in the Bible in John 1:10, Jesus was in the world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. He created the world. They didn't acknowledge him. He came to his own, meaning his own people, the Jewish people, his own family, his own nation. He was the Messiah. It says he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. They didn't welcome him. They didn't want him. Think about that. It says, and you know what? Has that changed? That hasn't changed, has it? People don't want Christ today. They're not looking for truth. Listen, you know what people are looking for? If you're not saved, listen to me. You're not looking for truth. You're looking for relief. Relief won't change it. Jesus will change it. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? That's what's needed in this life. Oh, no. Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, listen carefully, Jesus talking about the Messiah, when he comes, he will be despised. He will be rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In other words, no value. We looked at it, it's not anything I want. We didn't esteem him. We didn't honor him. Didn't even want the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. That's what that scripture is saying. Do you know how much God loves all of us, mankind? For God so loved the world, he gave. But see, if we don't back up and see how he gave him and what he went through, what did God do? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, yes, but for what? To bruise him. To crush him, to break him. Jesus said, this is my body. It's broken for you, for each one of you. You see, listen to what scripture says. But the Messiah, Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgression, of course, is crossing over God's standard, his line, willful disobedience. He says he was bruised for our iniquities. See, Jesus didn't die for anything he had done. He died for what we had done. Amen? Jesus took our place. Listen, it says that he was bruised for our iniquities. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, our Lord, was literally crushed, broken for what we had done. See, iniquity is that inner thing that says, I want to do it no matter what. Transgression is stepping over the line. Sin is missing the mark. Oh, listen, Jesus died for all of them. It says in Isaiah 53:10, listen carefully, it pleased the Lord. It pleased God to crush him, to bruise him, to break him. What a plan. For the Lord to put him to grief, to make his soul an offering for sin. Dear Lord, you know what that means? It means that God the Father loves you so much, he sentenced himself. Jesus is God. He sentenced himself. He says, I am going to be bruised. I am going to be broken. I am going to be crushed because my people are broken because they're in Adam. Are you listening to me? How horrific, loved one, listen to me, how horrific was the Lord's brokenness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it says his brokenness, listen to this, in Isaiah it says in verse 50, or chapter 50, verse 6, he says, I gave. The word I gave means I did it. I voluntarily did it. I gave my back to those who struck me, meaning the Roman soldiers. The scourging. He says, I gave my cheeks of my own volition. Here, go ahead, pluck out my beard. That's what they did. He says, and I didn't hide my face from shame or spitting. The horrible abuse that Jesus took to be broken. Listen to me. Jesus said, this is my body that's broken for you. Who broke the body of Christ? We did. You broke God. I broke God. And I think about that. What I've done, the sin, and how can we love the sin that Jesus paid for and died? And I go, oh God, but listen to this scripture in Isaiah 52:14, talking about the Messiah. It says, just as many were astonished, that word means startled or appalled, at you. Many were, it says. It says, so his visage, his face, his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form, meaning his body, more than the sons of men. Now, that's speaking, of course, what Jesus endured under the Roman soldiers all the way to the crucifixion, no doubt about it. One version reads like this, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, on the cross. It says, he didn't even look human. A ruined face. A broken face. A disfigured so much it was past recognition. I know that many people believe that this has to do with the garrison of Roman soldiers that surrounded the Lord there when he was turned over to them. And, you know, a garrison is 600 men, and Pilate and them, they threw him there to these drunken savages, if you will, who beat him. The horrible things, they spit upon him, they pulled his beard out, they smote him, blindfolded him, and smote him in the face. They prophesy, if you're God, if you're the Christ, who hit you? Never did he open his mouth. He took all of that. He took it for you. He took it for me. This is my body that is broken for you. Does that make sense? And I say, oh, Lord. But let me tell you what the scripture I just read, Isaiah 52:14, where it says, as many as were astonished because his visage was more marred than any man, his entire form. This is deeper. This is so much deeper than 600 soldiers beating up our Lord. It's deeper than that. It's so deep, I don't even know how to teach it. Because when it's read in context, in the context of Isaiah, it's not about there in the room with the soldiers. It's what happens to Jesus from noon to 3 p.m. on the cross, when darkness covered the earth. And when God says, no, I can't. I'm not going to look. I can't see this happening to my son. See, Jesus said, this is my body. This is what they're going to do to me. I'm taking your place. I'm taking your shame, your suffering, your sin, but I'm also taking your punishment because I love you. I don't want you to be a broken people. That's why my body is going to be broken for you. The word astonished, they startled when they looked upon the Lord that noon to 3 p.m., however that occurred. Loved one, listen to me. They literally said, what is that? What is that? That's not human. That doesn't look human. And you'd have to say, I know what it is. That's my sin. That's the sin of the world. Listen to me. Jesus said, this is my body that is broken for you. Do you know what happened in that mysterious time from 12 to noon when Jesus was being or born? Was made the sin of the world, yet he didn't sin. He's a spotless, sinless Son of God. But here's what happened. It was dark. And there the soldiers were below. They were gambling for his garment. And then the sin of the world was being laid upon him. Now listen to me. That is every sin that has ever been committed. God was reconciling the world through Christ Jesus. Are you with me? The world, every sin, not just ours, every sin that's ever been committed was falling upon our Lord. Now listen, what does that mean? It means for the very first time in his sinless, perfect life, he did not sin, but he felt sin. He felt all of what sin was. In other words, not just one lie was placed upon our Lord, but every vile, filthy lie he felt. Not just one adultery, not just one fornication, not just one murder. Every murder. Are you listening to me? Every form of abuse, any type of sin, it was all laid upon him. And then as that occurred, that disfigurement was taking place. Jesus feels all that broken mankind felt. And it was placed on him. Every divorce, every molestation of a child. I think about that and I say, oh God, the deepest, darkest, vilest sin was placed upon him at that moment. See, that is what marred Jesus, our sin. And I say, oh Lord. You say, Bill, why are we celebrating today? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that God laid all of our sins and iniquities and transgressions upon him. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Oh, listen, you know, whenever that occurred, loved one, what did Jesus do? Remember what he cried out? He said, my God, why hast thou broken me? That word forsaken means, why have you broken fellowship with me? Why have you become now my judge, not my father, but now you're my judge? In other words, my God is a title not for someone who is saved. It's for someone who is a sinner. In other words, had Jesus ever called God, my God, my God? No, it was always Father. But see, now Jesus was taking my place, taking your place, taking mankind's place because they're all broken. And sin was being placed. And he says, where are you? Where are you? He says, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time ever between God the Father, God the Son, I don't know how to explain it, but there was a separation. There was a broke, it was a break, if you will. And the reason is because Jesus was taking our very place. Loved one, listen. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. When they took Jesus down from the cross, where did they take Jesus? It's okay, you can talk. They took him to the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, they begged the body from Pilate, remember? And they took it to the tomb. Jewish people said, or the chief priest, well, you better, we need a guard, you know, but we'll put a seal on it. And Pilate said, well, we'll make it as secure as you can. I love Pilate for that. No, they took he who bore the sin of the world and they buried it. They buried him. Are you with me? That's what happened to our sin. Our sin, the sin of the world, it was put in the grave, loved one. You see, Jesus Christ, did he die on Passover? Yes, the blood of the Lamb. And then when he was buried that evening, that was the feast of the unleavened bread. Remember, leaven, you get all the leaven out of your house. There can be no sin. And then he rose again on Sunday. That's the feast of first fruits. Jesus fulfilled all those feasts. See, Passover would be our justification. The unleavened bread would be our sanctification. The first fruits would be our glorification, our future glorification, when we're going to receive all those beautiful new bodies. Oh, listen, what does this mean? It means this. The resurrection means the sin debt of the world. Not just one generation, the entire, every generation. It's been paid. Listen, your sins, because of Jesus coming out of that grave, loved one, your sins have been buried. They're in the, Micah says they're in the depths of the sea. The psalmist has said your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And if you go east, you'll never be going west. You can't calculate that distance. Amen? I say, oh God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:5, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and yet in him there is no sin. Loved one, the resurrection means that Jesus did something else. He tasted something that you will never taste. The word taste means taste to the full, to experience to the full. He tasted and conquered death. You'll never taste death. Your old body's going to die, but then you're going to go to heaven immediately. No, he conquered the one who had the power over death, and that is the devil. Amen? Listen, I think about all of that, and I say to all of us, are you broken? How can a Christian be broken when the Bible says you're complete in him? Don't you ever say that you're broken. I can't make it. I can't make it through this life. Oh, no. The resurrection says that you can make it through this life. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? I say, oh, God, you're so good. But are you crushed? Are you bruised? Do you feel mutilated by this life? Do you know Christ is Lord? Do you feel like you're damaged goods? Do you feel that you're just, you know, the throw out? You know, I don't collect broken things. I don't like broken things. Do you? No. I mean, they're broken. I'm not going to go buy a car that's broken. Are you? No. You know, you need counseling if you do that. No. Listen, you throw it out. No one purchases broken things, but Jesus does. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 20, speaks about our Lord who says this, a bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed, they're speaking there of a musical instrument, a flute. They would take the vines out of the water and make flutes out of them, but if it was bruised, they'd throw it away. It's no good. It's useless. A bruised reed, it says that Jesus, he won't break, and a smoking flax, he will not quench. Love, we're not talking about musical instruments there. He's talking about broken, bruised people whose life is nothing more than a dying flame or a dying ember. Are you broken? If you don't know Christ, you're broken. Whether you feel like it or believe it or not, you're broken. And for a Christian to be broken, we may go through hardships, but we're never broken. Do you understand? Because Jesus' body was broken for us. I tell you what, if you're broken in this life, you know what I would do? I'd come to Jesus. You know why? His specialty is broken people. You know what Jesus does? He collects broken people. And then he turns them into people who are no longer broken. And you know why? Again, Jesus said, oh no, my body, of my own volition, because I love you, my body is broken for you. You see, the cross, loved one, shows the price of our sin, but the resurrection tells us and shows us that our sin, our brokenness, has been paid for. Now listen, if you don't know the Lord, I'm telling you that you're broken. I love you. I'm not trying to mess with your self-esteem. I don't care about your self-esteem. I care about saving your soul. Amen? You say, well, Bill, I was invited here and I'm under all this pressure. No, you're not. You can run out any time. The doors are locked. But see, there's some here, and you know what? You're broken. You're on drugs. You're broken. You're going to go after the service, and you know what you've been thinking about? The pornography you're going to look at. You're broken. You've lost the love for your wife, your husband. You're broken. You're going to the world and saying, this will fill me up, but it doesn't. You take all your brokenness and you try to take all of this, and Jesus goes, why are you doing that? All of those things that you're doing, I've already put upon me. You don't have to be broken. You don't have to live a broken life. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of living. I was broken for you. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me. Those wherever you are in the building, those that are listening live, listen to me now. I beg you in Jesus' name, please do not remain broken for all eternity, because the only cure is Jesus. There is no cure for brokenness. There's no cure for sin in hell. There's no remedy. It doesn't exist there. That's only forever and ever and ever and ever, remaining for eternity in your brokenness, meaning your separation from God and all that God is and all of God's goodness. Listen, we live in a broken world. That's why those who come to Christ, the Bible says that he has delivered us, he has rescued us from the powers of darkness and translated us or conveyed us over into kingdom of his Son. In other words, we don't belong to this world. We're illegal aliens, okay? We don't belong here. Our citizenship is now in heaven, amen? Another thing is, you have to sever your relationship that you have with Adam, because Adam is broken. In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. You have to leave the Adam's family, and you have to come over and be in the body of Christ. There's no other way. Or your brokenness will remain. And you say, well, Bill, you know, I can make it. My brokenness can be repaired. No, it cannot. You can't repair brokenness. You see, you can't. There's not a person on earth that can take you out of Adam who is broken except Jesus. There's no other way. See, Jesus Christ is alive. And he is here right now. He says to all of us, this is my body. It is broken for you. so you won't have to be broken anymore. You don't have to be broken anymore. Those who deny the miracle of the resurrection, they are forced to do something else. They are forced then to deny the new birth. You see, it is the new birth means that you become a new creation. If where it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, therefore, if anyone, no matter where you're from, if anyone be in Christ, that's the secret, being in Christ, new creation, old things passed away, all things become new. Listen, if your life is broken, I tell you that Jesus came out of the tomb to set you free. The power of God, I mean, that's what saved me. That's what healed me of so much brokenness, of not having a father. I'll never forget the day that Jesus healed me of not having a father that loved me. I was, honest to God, I was on my way back from Florida to Texas. I was driving a Ford Pinto. You know what I mean? That's how long ago that was. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, the power of God, filled up that little crummy car I was driving. And I pulled over to the side of the road. I started weeping and weeping because I realized for the first time that I had a father. Are you listening to me? A father that loves me. A father that will correct me in love. A father that will never leave me, never forsake me, never relax his hold upon me. A father that says, you're broken in that area of your life, and I'm getting ready to take that away because my son was broken for you. Are you listening to me? Listen, is your marriage broken? Is your life broken? Are you miserable? Do you know him? If you don't know him, you need to ask Christ Jesus right now. You need to come to the one who was broken for you. And if you don't, I love you. I don't mean it to be critical, but you will regret it all of eternity. You'll regret it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, on this Resurrection Sunday 2019, I don't know the hearts of people. I don't know who's broken and who's not broken. But I know this, if there was, Lord, they have a chance, they have an opportunity, they have the grace right this minute to be set free, to be made whole, to get out of the bondage. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if that's anyone here, if that's anyone here at all, as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed and every Christian is praying, if you don't know Jesus, if your life is broken, your marriage is broken, your heart is broken, will you come to the one that was broken for you? Just, you don't have to get out of your chair right now at all. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I'm tired. I'm broken. And I, yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Just lift your hand high so I can see it for a moment. Yes, God bless you back there. I see that. Say, Bill, that's me. I'm broken. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to, I'm tired. I'm broken by so many things. My past, each day, I live with this torment. Lift your hand. Let me see it. Put it right back down. Quickly. Anyone else? Say, Bill, that's me. I know there are others. I normally don't linger at an altar call. But if the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart, I beg you right now, would you just lift your hand high and say, Bill, that's me. Put your faith out there and say, God, touch me in my brokenness. Last call, anyone at all. God bless you, that's right. Those that lifted your hands, listen carefully. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Those that are listening live, I want you to do the same thing. If you lifted your hand, say, Bill, that's me. In church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, today, I am no longer broken. My life is no longer broken. My heart is no longer broken because I believe in Jesus Christ. who was broken for me. So right now, I come to you. I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. You promised, if I believe that, you would save me. I would no longer be a broken person. I believe, Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm not only saved, but I'm no longer broken. Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for those that you touched in the first service and this service as well, Lord. So many. Oh God, I'm so thankful for you. Thankful for the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Listen carefully. We're going to close out. Ashley's going to close out with a song about Mary Magdalene. And I want...